Today's Amud is Yevamos Lamed Chesamim Aleph. We're holding on Lamed Chesamim Beis, two lines from the bottom, by the words Abaye Amar. So the Gemara had asked a question on our Mishnah on Lamed Chesamim Aleph. The Mishnah is discussing Nichsei Malug, which we said is certain, let's say, property. A woman, if she brings it into her marriage, so the halacha is that it's owned, the field itself is owned by the wife. However, the peiros, any profit that comes from the field, so that goes to the husband as long as they're married. If they get divorced, or if the husband dies, so then everything goes back to the woman's family. That's the halacha of Nichsei Malug. Now, the Mishnah discussed a case where a lady was a Shemeres Yavam. Mrs. Reuven was married to Reuven, and Reuven died without having any children. And so now Mrs. Reuven falls to Shimon. And while she's a Shemeres Yavam, the Mishnah says that she yarshin some sort of property. She yarshin some Nichsei Malug. And so now the shaila is she allowed to sell it? How much do we say it's hers? When it comes to a regular arusa, when it comes to an arusa, a lady who did already erusin, who did kedushin, so according to Beis Hillel, she's not allowed to lechatchila sell her nechse mulug, because it's already shayach to the husband. It's already somewhat shayach to the husband, even though he doesn't yet get the profits, but it's already on its way, so the wife is not allowed to sell the nechse mulug. What's the halacha by a shaymeres yavam? Do we say that the nechse mulug is shayach to the husband, or do we say it's completely in her rishas? And the Mishnah says lamaisa that in this case where she yarshins nichse malug while she's a shemeres yavam, the halacha is that it's completely in her rishas, and mameila she's 100% even lechatchila allowed to sell the field. That was the reisha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then discussed the case where the lady then dies, where the shemeres yavam dies. So if the Shemeres Yavam dies, so Beis Shammai says, now who gets the field? Does it go to the Yarshei Habal, Reuven's relatives, or does it go to Mrs. Reuven's relatives, the Yarshei Ha'av, her side of the family? Who does the field go to? And so Lamaisa Beis Shammai considered it to be like a suffix, and therefore Beis Shammai said the halacha is Yachleiku, they split it, the Yarshei Ha'av and the Yarshei Habal split it, whereas Beis Hillel said that no, that being that it's a suffix, being that it's a suffix, who it should go to? So the halacha is that it stays in its chazakah. It stays in its chazakah, and by the nichsei malug, that means that it goes completely to the yarshei ha'af. It goes completely to the yarshei ha'af by the nichsei malug. By the nichsei tzoyin barza, by the ksuva, so that will go to the yarshei ha'bal. But when it comes to the nichsei malug, so that's gonna go to the yarshei ha'af, because they're bechezkas to the yarshei ha'af. They're in her chazakah. We don't know if now it should change, now it should go to the Yarshei Habal. So being that we don't know, so we put it Bechazkasa, and that's Beis Hillel Shita. But Beis Shammai said Yachloiku. And the Gemara notes that the Reisha and the Seifa seems to be a stira within the Shita of Beis Shammai, because in the Reisha, Beis Shammai says that when the Shemeres Yavam Yarshins, the Nichsei Malug, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, so she's allowed to sell it, Lechatchila, she's 100% allowed to sell the Nechasim. So you see that clearly, it's completely hers. But then when it comes to the case where Mesa, where she dies, so all of a sudden then it's considered a suffix. Is it hers? Is it shayach to the husband? Does it go to the Yarshei Habal? Does it go to the Yarshei Ha'av? Why is it a suffix? I thought you just said in the Reisha that she's allowed to sell it. That makes it seem like it's completely in her Reisha. It's not shayach to the Baal. So that was the stira that the Gemara asked within the Shita of Beis Shammai. So the Gemara already gave two terutzim. The Gemara gave two terutzim already, Ula and Rabba. Now the Gemara is going to say two more terutzim. It says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Amar, terutz number three, it says Abaye to answer this stira, that Reisha did not lula kishihisha imeres yavam. The Reisha and the Sefer are talking about two different cases. The Reisha, where we spoke about a case where that she's allowed to sell the field, that she's allowed to sell the Nichsei Malug, that's discussing a case where the field fell to her while she's a Shemeres Yavam. Since it fell to her while she's a Shemeres Yavam, it's completely in her Rishas, and she's allowed to sell it. However, the Seifa, where it spoke about the case of Mesa, and Beis Shammai considered it a suffix, whose Rishos it's in, that's because it's discussing a case, Dinaf Lula Kishi Tachtav Debal. It's because it's discussing a case where the field fell to her when she was married to Reuven. It didn't fall to her now that she's a Shemeres Yavam. Then it would be Pasha that it's in her Rishos. It doesn't go to any sort of husband or Yavam or anything like that. But, and that's why in the Rishos she's allowed to sell it. But the Seif is discussing a case where the field fell to her while she was married to Reuven. So since it fell to her while she was married to Reuven, at that point it's going to be in Reuven's Rishas. And so what happens now? So now it's considered a Suffolk by the Yavam. By the Yavam, it's considered a Suffolk whose Rishus it's in. Meaning like this, the Gemara will really speak out really soon, is that however we view a husband's Yad in the Nichsei Malug, when you have a regular husband and wife, so however we view his Yad in the Nichsei Malug versus her Yad, it's definitely gonna be one step down. It's gonna be one Darga down when you get to the Yavam, because by a Shemer is the Yavam, because he's not even married to her. By a husband and wife, whatever level ownership we say that he has in the Nichsei Malug, it's definitely gonna be one level down when we discuss a Shemer is Yavam. So Beishamai Shita is that when it comes to a regular husband and wife, so the halacha is that his yad is stronger than her yad. That the husband has a stronger yad in the Nichsei Malug than the wife. Mamela, when it comes to a Shemeres Yavam, we're going to knock it down a level. A Shemeres Yavam, it's going to be Yadai Ki Yadai. It's going to be that they have the same level Yad. Which is why Beis Shammai says that in the case of the Shemeres Yavam, when it fell to her, when she was Tacht of the Baal, so in that case, it's going to be Achloiku. In the Reisha, it's completely in her Rishos because it fell to her when she's a Shemeres Yavam. However, in the Seifa, where we're discussing a case where it fell to her earlier, and now we're just going to knock it down a Darga, so now it's considered a Suffolk, and Mamela, the Din is going to be Yachloiku. However, what does Beis Hillel hold? Beis Hillel says, and no, it's completely in her Rishos. Beis Hillel says that in the Seifa, that when she dies, it's completely in her Rishos, and Mamela goes to her Yarshim, it goes to the Yarshia Av. It doesn't go to the Yarshia Baal. What's the Pshat? So that's what the Gemara now speaks out, like Rashi explains, that the Kesava Rabaye Yadai Ki Yada, that this is the way Rashi explains, is that this is speaking out what Beis Hillel holds by a normal marriage. That by a normal marriage, Yada is Ki Yada. Not like Beis Shammai says that Yada is a Difa Mi Yada, that his hand, that his ownership of the field is even stronger than hers. Rather, Beis Hillel's Shita is that they're the same. Is that Yada is Ki Yada, it's equal to her Yad. Mamela, when it comes to Shemeres Yavam, we're gonna knock it down the Darga, and then it's gonna come out that Yada is Garua Mi Yada, that his hand is weaker than her hand. It's Bechezkasa, it's in her Chazaka, which is why Beis Hillel holds that in the case of Mesa, it goes to her Yarshim, it goes to the Yarshaya Av. Because that's Beis Hillel Shita, is that normally Yada is Ki Yada. Mamela, by a case of a Shemeres Yavam, so Yada is Garua Mi Yada, and that's why it's considered Becheskas, the Yarshei Ha'av. So that's how Abaye explains the difference between the Reisha and the Seif of the Mishnah. The Reisha is talking about when it felt her when she was a Shemeres Yavam, and the Seif is talking about where it felt her when she was a Tacht of the Baal. However, Amar Le Rava, Rava argues in principle on the Baye, and he says that no, that Ida Nafli Lakishi Tacht of the Baal, if in the Seifa we're discussing a case where it fell to her when she was married to Reuven, so then the Kuliyamu Le Pligi, the Yada Yadifa Miyada. Everybody agrees that Yada is Adifa Miyada. Nobody holds, you can't tell me Beis Hillel holds that Yada is Kiyada. Everybody holds that his Yad is stronger than her hand. But Mela by a Shaymeres Yavam, the Din would be that they're equal. No one's gonna say it's Bechezkas the Yarshe Ha'av. So Beis Hillel Shita wouldn't make sense according to your understanding. There's no way to explain the Seifa that it felt her when she was taxed at the Baal, because everybody would agree that Yada is greater than Yada. Ella Idi V'Idi D'Nafula Kishud Shemeres Yavam. Both the Reisha and the Seifa are discussing cases when it felt her when she was a Shemeres Yavam. So if so, what's the difference? Why in the Reisha does Beis Shammai say it's completely in her Rishos, and in the Seifa Beis Shammai considers it a Suffolk? So says Rava, because Reisha delay avid b'maimer. The Reisha of the Mishnah is discussing a case where they never did maimer. Since they never did maimer, she's just a regular Shemeres Yavam. So then when she yarshens the field, it's totally hers, and Mamela, she's allowed to sell it. She's a chadchila allowed to sell it. However, Seifa, where it discusses the case of Mesa, is talking about a case, the Avid B'Maimer, is talking about a case where she already did Maimer. Now, according to Beis Hillel, Maimer is Loikani. Maimer doesn't accomplish anything, Midaraisa. Which is why Beis Hillel says that even in the case of Mesa, it's completely in her Rishos, and it's gonna go to her Yarshim, it's gonna go to the Yarshei Ha'av, because even though they did Maimer, nothing changes, it's still completely in her Rishos. However, Beis Shammai says that in this case it's different. Beis Shammai says that Maimer is Kainan. Bishamai spoke about a case where a Yavam did a Maimer with the Shemeris Yavam, and then the Shemeris Yavam's sister fell to Yibam. So there's no Isser of Achizikul Kasai because he already did Maimer with her with the first one. He already did Maimer with her, and Maimer is Kaina, and not only that, but it's Doicha the Tzara. Now he doesn't even have to do Chalitza with the Tzara, with the sister who falls to Yibam, because Maimer is Mamish Kaina. That's the Shita of Bishamai. So since Maimer is Kaina, that's why the case in the Seifa is different. Since Maimer is Kaina, that's why we don't view it as being the field as being completely in her Rishus. In the ratio where they didn't do Maimer, so the field was in her Rishus. But the Seif is talking about where they did Maimer, now we understand Beis Shammai. Since they did Maimer, that's why the field is not considered to be in her Rishus. Now the problem is that, wait a second, if they did Maimer, and according to Beis Shammai, Maimer is Kaina, so then it should be completely in the husband's Rishus. It should go, in the case of Mesa, it should go to the Yarshei Habal. It shouldn't go to the Yarshei Av at all. So why does Beis Shammai say Yachleiku? Why does Beis Shammai consider it a Safik? It shouldn't be a Safik, it shouldn't be Yachleiku, it should go completely to the Yarshei Habal. So to that, Rava explains, the Gemara explains that Ukasava Rava, that Rava must hold, that Maimer le Beis Shammai oise vada yarusu u Safik. The geder of what Maimer accomplishes according to Beis Shammai, Maimer is Kaina. What does it mean, Maimer is Kaina? To the Darga, that now she's considered like a Vada Yarusa and like a Safik Nesua. Why do we have to say those two things, that it's like a Vada Yarusa and a Safik Nesua? You have to say it makes her into a Vada Yarusa, Litchais B'Tzara. That's how it's able to push away the Tzara. When the sister then afterwards falls to Yibam, so Beis Shammai says he doesn't have to even do Chalitza with her, pushes away the Tzara, because Maimer makes it, and now he's engaged. Now he's married to the first Yavama, to the sister. And Mimela, the second one that falls is Achiz Ishtoi, and that's why he doesn't have to even do Chalitza with her, because Maimer clearly makes her into a Vade Arusa. But you also have to say that the Geder is only, it's like a Safik Nesua, and that's why it's Lach like B'Nechasim, which is why Beis Shammai says in the Seifa, in the case of Mesa, that it's Yachleiku. If Maimer would accomplish full-fledged Nesuan, if Maimer, according to Beis Shammai, would make her into like a Vade Nesua, so then the field, the Nechse Mulug, should be completely in the husband's Rishos. And in the case of Mesa, it should go to the Yarshei Abal. The Yarshei Av shouldn't have any sort of chilek in it. Why does Beis Shammai say Achleiku? It must be because Beis Shammai says that when Maimer is Kaina, it makes the gather is that it makes her into like a Safik Nesua. A Safik Nesua, which is why it's a Safik now whose Rishos the field is in, which is hence Beis Shammai says that the din is going to be Yachleiku. So that's Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. The difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, according to Beis Shammai, is that the Reisha is talking about where they did not do Maimer, and the Seifa is talking about where they did Maimer. Now says the Gemara that it Mamish made Rabbi Lazar Kivase the Rava. We have a memra from Rabbi Lazar that he said like Rava's explanation of the Mishnah to be mechalik between Maimer and not Maimer. The it Mamish made Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Kivase the Abaye. And we have a memra, we have a report from Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina that he said like Abaye is pshat in the Mishnah, which was to be mechalik between when the Nechasim felt her. Did it felt her when she was a Shemeres Yavam or when she was Tacht of Debal? Now ask the Gemara. Rebbe Lazar said like Rava? Umiyama Rebbe Lazar hachi? Could Rebbe Lazar really have said like Rava that there's a difference between Maimer and not Maimer? Meaning that when in the Seifa where they did Maimer, and Maimer is Kaina, that's why the Seifa's case is different because Maimer is Kaina? Va'ama Rebbe Lazar, but Rebbe Lazar said that Maimer lebe Shammai ain't Kaina. The Maimer, even according to Beis Shammai, is not really Kaina. Ela lidchais b'tzara bovan. It just has the ability to push off the Tzara, but it's not a Kinyan, it's not Kaina. So how could Rebbe Lazar say like Rava? So says the Gemara, Teretz number one, is that Enochanami Eipach, switch it around. That Rebbe Lazar said like Abaye, and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina said like Rava. Or says the Gemara, second Teretz, no, the Eilam Light Eipach, you don't have to switch it around. And Amar Lach Rebbe Lazar will tell you that Ki Amri Ana, when is it that I said that Maimer is not Kaina with regards to what is Maimer not Kaina? Delay Sagila Baget. I just meant that it's not Kaina that now they're completely husband and wife, and if he wants to divorce her, so then he only has to give her a get. Elo debayi nami chalitza. I'm just coming to say that they also are going to need chalitza, even according to Beis Shammai, that Maimer is Kaina, so it's not really a Kenyan, meaning he's still going to have to also do chalitza. He's going to have to give her a get because of the Maimer, but he's also going to have to do chalitza. It's not like Beis Shammai argues on that debt. But lachuk b'nechasim, do they ever say that it's not kaina to the point that we're not going to now allow the nichse habal to have a share in the nechasim? No, that much I never said. In a chanami, Rabbi Lazar could agree to Rava that once they do maimer, so now the baal, now the yavam has like a chelik and the nichse muluk, that makes them a part owner, at least misafik, and it's like a safik nesua, and now they're going to, the din is going to be achlaiku with regards to the nechasim. In a chanami, it does have that element of kenyan. But it's not kaina to the point that now, to the extent that now if the yavam, whatever want to divorce the Shemeres Yavam, he'll only have to give her a get and not have to do Chalitza that much. And with regards to that, that's what Rabbi Lazar said, it's not kaina. Now, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said that Diyuka Demasnisin Kevasi Devaye Va'afal Gav Dekashra Mesa. Do we have a diak from the Mishnah that's mashma like Abaye? Even though there's also a kasha from the Mishnah from the case of Mesa. I have a kasha on Abaye from the case of Mesa. He'll explain it in a moment. But there's also a diak from the Mishnah that's like Abaye. In fact, many Rishonim say over here that the halacha actually follows Abaye. The halacha is going to follow Abaye's pshat in the Mishnah, because even though it's not one of the Yalkigams, which is a big chiddush, we have six exceptions where the halacha follows Abaye over Rava, Yalkigam, and none of the Yalkigams is this case, but still, some of the Rishayin, that being that Rav Papa has a raya to Abaye from the Mishnah, so the halacha follows Abaye. Al-Kapanim, what's Rav Papa's raya to Abaye? Dikatani, because the Mishnah says that Nechasim ha-Nechnasim v'yaitzin ima. In the case of the Seifa, the case of Mesa, how does the Mishnah describe the Nechsei Malug? It describes them as the Nechasim that enter and go out with her. So, my Nechnasin u my Yaitzin. What does it mean they go in and go out? Lav Nechnasin l'Rishus Habal, v'Yaitzin m'Rishus Habal, l'Rishus Hav. L'Chayr, what it means, Nechnasin and Yaitzin, it means is that it goes into the Rishus Habal because it fell to her while she was married to Reuven, and then it leaves when she gets divorced, so then it leaves the Rishus Habal, and it goes to the Rishus. So that's why it's called Nechnasim and Nechnasim, the Nechnasim and Nechnasim v'yaitzin ima. So you see that it felt her while she was married to Reuven. So that's the diak from the Mishnah, that's mashma like Abaye. Va'af al gav de kasha mesa. Even though the truth is that there's also a diak in the Mishnah that's not like Abaye. There's a kasha from the Mishnah on Abaye, from the case of Mesa. And the question is that Adamiflagi begufo la'achar Mesa, which is a kasha that Rabbi asked on Ula, on Amchasim Abayz, is that why discuss a case where Mrs. Reuven died? Why do we have to kill Mrs. Reuven and then talk about what happens with the Nechasim? Why do we have to discuss such a case? Liflugu b'chayeha, keep Mrs. Reuven alive, Ula peiros, and discuss what do we do with the peiros? Meaning, in as much as you're saying it's a suffix, who's Rishus, the Nechsei Malug is in, does it go to the Yarshei Abal, does it go to the Yarshei Av? So there's no reason to knock out Mrs. Reuven. We don't have to kill her. Keep her alive and discuss who gets the profits, who gets the peiros of the field, v'sulei midi, and there's nothing to say about that. That would seem to be a very shver kasha on Abaye from the Mishnah, is that why does the Mishnah specifically discuss the case of Mesa? We could have easily have spoken out this idea, the concept, by keeping Mrs. Reuven alive and discussing where the peiros go. But Lamaisa, the diak from the Lashon of the Mishnah is like Abaye, that it calls the Nechsei Malug, the Nechasim ha-Nechnasim v'yaitzin ima. I didn't get the chance to look into it, but I was thinking that L'chaira, you could say, is that it could be that the Mishnah calls Nechsei Malug Nechasim HaNechnasim V'yaitzin Ima, because that's generally what Nechsei Malug is. Even according to the other Shitas, let's say like Rava, that we're not talking about where the Nechasim actually went into the Baal Zershas. It fell only when she was a Shemeres Yavam, not when she was Tachas Baila HaRishayin. It only fell when she was a Shemeres Yavam, but it's still the way the Chazal referred to the Nechsei Malug is the Nechasim HaNechnasim V'yaitzin Ima, because that's generally the case. The classic case of Nechsei Malug is a lady gets married, so she brings Nechasim into the marriage, and the halacha is that when she gets divorced, she takes the Nechasim back out of the marriage. So that's why in all of Shas, we call Nechsei Malug Nechasim HaNechnasim V'yaitzin Ima. It's true in this case, maybe the few Ravas found in the Mishnah, it happens to be that it doesn't work out like that. But since generally that's what Nechsei Malug is, so that's why the Mishnah calls it that. Reminds me that the place can talk about what bracha do you make on hydronic fruits or vegetables, let's say. Let's say you have a strawberry that grows in water. So what bracha do you make? Do you make a bari pri adama because it's a strawberry? Or do you make a shahako? It didn't grow from the ground. How could you say bari pri adama? It didn't grow from the ground. It's growing from water. So maybe you should say a bracha of shahako niyabidvare. So there's a very strong svara to say that no, lemaisa, a strawberry is the type of thing which grows from the ground. It's true in this case it didn't grow from the ground. But a strawberry is a fruit which grows from the ground, and therefore its bracha is going to be bari pri adama. And there's a raya, and it's even a bigger kaddish, it's from the bracha of hamaitzi. We make a bracha on bread, hamaitzi lechem in haaretz. None of us has ever seen bread growing from the ground. So why do we say a bracha hamaitzi lechem in haaretz, that Hashem brings bread out of the ground? Wheat grows from the ground, and it gets made into bread. But the bread itself doesn't come from the ground. And the answer is because once upon a time, in the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, so bread came out of the ground. So therefore, I'll to remember now, so we say hamaitzi lechem in haaretz, even though it's not true about this bread, but be'etzem, if it wasn't be for achet, so be'etzem, bread grows from the ground. That's the be'etzem teva that Hashem created the world with. So therefore we make a bracha, hamaitzi lechem in haaretz. So kol shekein, a strawberry, even if it's planted in water hydronically, lemaisa, it's a fruit that grows from the ground. So you can make a bari pri adama because that's generally what it is. So the same thing over here. It could be nichsei melug. It's called nichasim and achnasim yaitzin ima because that's generally what it is, even though in this case, it might not have been ever nichnasim. Al-Kavanim says the Gemara Vayter now. The Mishnah had said that kansa harehi v'chulu. That the Mishnah had said that once Shimon is miyabe, Mrs. Reuven, so then they're like regular husband and wife. Harehi ki ishta l'chol davar, it's his regular wife. So says the Gemara l'mai helchasa, which is something we've mentioned in the past, that with regards to what halacha do we say that she's like his regular wife? Says the Gemara, amar b'yaisi v'achanino, leimar shemegarsha v'agenu machzira. The nafkamina in Yibam, the now that they do Yibam, that he's like a regular husband and wife, is that now if he wants to divorce her, he has to divorce her with a get, and also that if he wants to remarry her, assuming that she didn't get remarried to anyone else in between, so umachzira, he's allowed to remarry her. He divorces her with a get, and he's allowed to remarry her, just like any other wife in the world. Now ask the Gemara two questions, a question on each part of this line. Says the Gemara on the first part, we said that the nafkamina of being like a regular wife is that if he wants to divorce her, he has to give her a get. Ask the Gemara, megarsha beget pshita. Obviously, if that's how he wants to, if he wants to divorce her, he has to give her a get. What's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, salkadai dechamina, I might have thought that hayuluk sevelu kachalei liisha v'yivma, that since it says that he takes her as a wife and he does yibam. So what do you see? That even after he takes her as a wife, he calls her a yivama, v'yivma. So I'm that's what the Torah says. So that means adayin yivumi arisha in aleha. So you see that even after they get married, there's still some element of yavam and yavama of being like a yavama to him. And mamela, if he wants to divorce her, so then bechalitza in beget lai. So he should have to give her chalitza and not a get, meaning not just a get. The Ritzvah explains, meaning it wouldn't suffice to just give her a get. Maybe if he wants to divorce her, he should have to give her a get, and he should also have to do chalitza with her. Kamash malan. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, that no, that once they got married, they're like regular husband and wife. Shemegar shabeget means that he only has to give her a get, and he no longer has to do chalitza. The second half of the statement was umachzira, that he's also allowed to remarry her after he divorces her. So says the Gemara, umachzira pshita, what's the chiddush in that, that he's allowed to remarry her? Says the Gemara, because al kodad chamina, I might have thought that mitzvah derami rachmana alei avda. He had a mitzvah to do yibum with her. Be'etzem, she's an erva, she's an eshazach. But what? The Torah said that there's a mitzvah of yibum, yivama yava yaleah. So fine, so he did the mitzvah. Now that he did the mitzvah, now he got rid of her, so hash to take him alei be'isr eshazach. So now the isr of eshazach should come back. Maybe it was just mutter because of the mitzvah. Maybe it was dechuya. Maybe it was just pushed to the side because of the mitzvah of Yibam. But now that he divorced her, so now the isser of Eishes Ach comes back, and he's not allowed to just choose to remarry her. Kamash Molan, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, that no, it's mutter to remarry her. Maybe because I would have thought to say that once he divorces her, so now Eishes Ach comes back. It was only for the mitzvah that it was mutter. And we had before Taisus on Chesam Abay says that not just for the actual Maisa Yibam, but even the entire marriage, even the Biashnia, the Biashlishas, even being together afterwards, it was just mistaber that that would also be mutter, because the Torah wasn't saying to do Yibam to right away divorce her. Obviously, if the Torah said a mitzvah of Yibam, it means he's allowed to stay married to her. But once he divorces her, so maybe I would think that Eishes Ach comes back. Kamash Mulan, that no, umach zira, that he's allowed to remarry her. Now I asked the Gemara, Vei Machanami, maybe it's not like that. Maybe Taka, the Eser of Eishas Ach comes back and he's not allowed to marry her. So says the Gemara, no, because Amar Kra, Lukacha Loi Li'isha, it says he takes her to him as a wife, the extra word Li'isha, the Kevin Shalakha, Harehiki Ishta L'chol Davar. We learn out from there that once he marries her, so now they're like regular husband and wife, and therefore, Megar Shavagad, he only has to give her a gad, and therefore, Machzira, he's allowed to remarry her, Eishas Ach doesn't come back, they're like regular husband and wife. That's what the Mishnah was coming to teach. Us. Then the last line of the Mishnah, it said that even though they're like regular husband and wife, and typically by a husband and wife, so a husband gives his wife a ksuva, ubilvajate ksuva v'chulu, which was al nichse bala rishain. The Mishnah said that the only difference between this marriage and a regular marriage is that by this marriage that comes through Ibum, so the ksuva goes on the first husband's property. It's shaykh to Reuven's property. It's mitla tali v'kai on Reuven's property and not on Shimon's. Now, my taima, what's the reason for that? Why doesn't it go to Shimon's property? Because Isha hiknu loy min Hashemayim. Because this is not a woman that Shimon just chose on his own to marry. It's a woman that Hashem put into his place, and therefore the ksuva comes from Reuven and not from Shimon. Now, says the Gemara though that vi lasla min Arishayin, if the Reuven doesn't have anything, if he was very poor, he didn't have anything, he doesn't have enough money to give her for a ksuva. So then in a chanami, then to kinu la misheni. So then the Chazal made a takana that it comes from Shimon, then it's going to come from Shimon's nechasim. Because we want to make sure that he has some sort of ksuva, that there's going to be some sort of financial obligation in the event that he divorces her, in order so that it shouldn't be very easy to divorce her. If a person didn't have a ksuva, so then if the husband ever got into a fight with his wife, he would just right away divorce her. It doesn't affect him. So therefore we make a monetary obligation on him to make it that it's not so easy to divorce her, and this way he waits till he calms down, and by then hopefully he won't even want to divorce her. Now the question is that, wait a second, if anyways the husband, this the Shimon is Yairish all of Reuven's possessions, he gets all of Reuven's assets. So what nafkamina does it make if the ksuva is on Reuven's property, if it goes on to Shimon, especially since the Gemara says that if Reuven doesn't have anything, so then the taka does go to Shimon. So what nafkamina does it make if the ksuva is be'etzem on Reuven's stuff or it's on Shimon's assets? Who cares who has the ksuva? Lemaisa, Reuven's stuff is Shimon. So what difference does it make? So the Taisa says the nafkamina is that being that it's on Reuven, so let's say Shimon divorces Mrs. Reuven. Shimon, after they do Yibam, Shimon decides to divorce Mrs. Reuven, and Reuven has possessions. He has a field that Mrs. Reuven could collect from, and then the field gets destroyed. So now it's not going to revert to Shimon's stuff. They already got divorced. Mrs. Reuven had a place in Reuven's possessions to collect from, and then it got destroyed. That's a nafkamina on the fact that ksuva is goes on Reuven and doesn't go on to Shimon. So that's the Mishnah Vayter now. Now, mitzvah begadol liyabim. There's a mitzvah for the oldest brother to do yibam. Loi ratza, but if the oldest brother doesn't want to, so then mehalchen akol ha'achin. So then we go to all the other brothers, which in halacha it's brought, and it means you go to the next oldest, and then the next oldest, you go in order. But there's a mitzvah for the oldest one, and if not, then you go to the next and next oldest. Loi ratzu, if none of the younger brothers want to do the yibam, so then chayzrin eitzel gadol, we go back to the gadol, we go back to the oldest brother. Va'aymrim loi, and we tell him, alecha mitzvah, the mitzvah is on you, oy chalitz, oy yabim. Either do chalitz or do yibam, but you have to do something. It's your obligation. Now, tala bekatan achi yagdil. Let's say the oldest brother, he says, wait a second. It's true you went to all my other brothers, but the truth is that I have a baby brother. I have a brother who's 3 years old right now. Why don't you wait 10 years? Maybe he's going to want to do the Yibam. Maybe I don't really want to do anything. I don't really want to do it. But maybe my 3-year old brother, when he gets older, he'll do it. So don't force me into doing Yibam or Chalitza. Wait till the 3-year old gets older. What's going to be with Mrs. Reuven? She'll be stuck for the next 10 years. It's not my issue. Wait 10 years. There's one more brother. You never asked. So let's say he's Talib. That's this case. He says, now wait for the youngest brother, wait for the baby until he becomes a gadol. I begadol achiyavo min bedina sayam. Let's say the brother says, I'm not really the oldest brother. I have an older brother who's overseas right now. He's stuck overseas. Wait till he gets back. Maybe he'll want to do the Yibam. Something even in Tavshin Pei Vav we could relate to. You could have someone who's stuck overseas. He has no flights. The airport's closed. He can't get to the other side. He can't get to the other country. So wait, but maybe he'll want to do it. Don't force me into doing the Yibam or Chalitza. I have an even older brother. Wait for him to get out of the country. Wait for him to come here. And maybe he'll do the Yibam. Amai, another case, is Chayrish or Shaita. He says that the truth is I have another brother, and maybe he'll want to do Yibam. It's true right now, he's a Chayrish, he's a Shaita, he's not really capable, he's not a Bardas, but he's in his school right now, and he's going to learn, he's going to become a Bardas very soon. That's what all the teachers are saying. So maybe you should wait for him to become a Bardas, wait for him to have enough level of Das, and then he'll perform the Yibam. The halacha is all these cases, is Ein Shaymun Lai, we don't push off the mitzvah, we don't listen to him, we can deal with it right now. We tell him, Alecha mitzvah, the mitzvah's upon you. Either you do the chalitza or do the ibum, but the mitzvah's on you to do it right now. Now it says the Gemara that Itmar, Bias Katan v'chalitzas gadol. Let's say we have a choice. There's a younger brother, not a Katan Mamish, not someone who's below Bar Mitzvah, but we have a Bias Katan, means a younger brother who wants to do Yibam, and the oldest brother, v'chalitzas gadol. The oldest brother's not interested in doing Yibam, but he's willing to do Chalitza. He'll do Chalitza. He maybe even wants to do Chalitza. You have the oldest brother who wants to do the Mitzvah. He wants to be Yitze, all the Taryag Mitzvahs. Here's his opportunity to do the Mitzvah of Chalitza. So the oldest brother wants to do chalitza, but a younger brother actually wants to marry her. He wants to do yibam. So which one do we prefer? Which maila is better? The maila of being the gadol or the maila of doing yibam? So that's the Gemara. Even though we probably would have all thought that, of course, yibam is better. The oldest is just a kedima, not mamish, that there's some sort of intrinsic thing about the gadol. One of them says that the Yibam is the best, so even if it's a younger brother, Yibam is the best, which is, I think, what most of us probably would have assumed. Whereas the other one says, no, Chalitza's Gadol Adifa, better that the oldest brother gets involved, even though he's just doing Chalitza. The one who says better to have the younger brother do Yibam, it's the HaMitzvah B'Yibam, it's because that's the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah really is to do Yibam. Whereas the one who says, no, better to have the oldest brother do Chalitza, it's because the Makom Gadol B'Yas Katan. It's because when you have the oldest brother who's willing to participate, who even wants to participate, so then the Bias Katan is not really anything. We don't revert to the younger brother. Now says the Gemara, we have a raya from our Mishnah. Tanan, the Mishnah said that Lo Yiratza, if the oldest brother doesn't want to do anything, so Machzirin Al Kol Achen. We go to the younger brothers. Now my lav Lo Yiratza Liyabim El Lachleitz. The Chayra, when the oldest brother said he didn't want, it meant he didn't want to do Yibam, but he was more than fine to do Chalitza, he just didn't want to do Yibam. And so, and still, what do you see? That even though the oldest brother is willing to do Chalitza, V'chitani Mahalchen Eitzel Achen. Still, we go to the younger brothers to see if maybe one of them wants to do Yibam. So you see that Bias Katan is better than Chalitza's Gadol. So Shema Minah, Bias Katan Adifa. You see Bias Katan is better. To which the Gemara says, Loi no, Loi Ratzel Achlitz V'Liyabim. When the oldest brother said he didn't want to, he wasn't interested, it wasn't just that he wasn't interested in Yibam, he wasn't interested in doing Chalitza as well. Now the Kavavasa asked the Gemara, well wait a second, then it has to be parallel with the next line of the Mishnah. The next line at the Kavavasa Gabi Achen has to be parallel with what the brothers are saying. And the brothers, what is the Mishnah say? That Lei Ratzu, Lei Lachleitz, V'lo Liyabim. When the Mishnah then says that if the younger brothers don't want to, so then we go back to the older brother, so what does it mean that the younger brothers don't want to? It has to mean that Lei Lachleitz, V'lo Liyabim, that they don't want to do Chalitza or Yibam. So wait a second, if the younger brothers don't want to do Chalitza or Yibam, and the oldest brother doesn't want to do Chalitza or Yibam, so am I Chayzer Meitzel Agadol? Why is it that we specifically go back to the oldest brother, L'michvi L'chafi L'didhu? Why don't we force one of the younger brothers? It seems that the Gemara and the Havamina did not realize that there's a mitzvah begadol. The Gemara and the Havamina thought that it's a right that the gadol has to do the mitzvah. There's a right, there's a zechus that the gadol has to do the mitzvah. But not that it's mamish ram yaleh, that the mitzvah is incumbent upon him to do it. It's just that he has a right to do it. But lemaisa, in this case, where nobody wants to, so why do we specifically force the oldest one? If it's just a right, it's just a rishot, it's just a zechus that the oldest one has, so why do we dafka force the oldest one? Nobody wants to do anything. Force one of the younger ones. So says the Gemara, no. Came in the mitzvah, lady di ramia, lady de kaifinan. It's not true. It's not just a zechus. It's actually a mitzvah that rests beikar on the oldest brother, which is why we go to the oldest brother. But al kapana, there's no raya from the Mishnah whether or not Bias Katan is better or worse or the same as Chalitza's Gadol. So says the Gemara, one more raya. That Tanan, the Mishnah says, that talo bikatan achi agdil. If the brother says that, hey, wait a second, there's still another brother. He's just a little baby right now. Wait till he becomes a gadol, and maybe he'll want to do yibam. So the halacha is ain shaymin lai. We don't listen to him. Now, wait a second. V'ibiyas katan adifa, if the yibam of a younger brother is better than the chalitza of an older brother, so amai ein shayman lai. Also a difficult, have a minute to understand. But the Gemara says to them, said, if the bias katan is better, so why wouldn't we listen to this claim? This seems to be a very good claim. Nintar, we should delay, because dilma gadol umiyabe, maybe this young brother, maybe when in 10 years from now, when he turns bar mitzvah, he'll want to do yibam, and if bias katan is better, so we should wait. It's hit or mitzvah. That's the best way to do it. So says the Gemara, Tamekan, according to you, one of the other cases of the Mishnah is if the brother says that, oh, I have an even older brother who's just overseas, why don't we wait for him to come? The halacha is ain't shaymin loy. We don't listen to him. Amai, why don't we listen to him? And that, even you agree, for sure, if you're not going to tell me the bias katan is greater, the other option is that the gadol is the best. So in this case, why don't we wait for the gadol to come back? Amai, ninter dilma asiv. Maybe the gadol will come back, and even if he wants to do chalitza, but there's a mitzvah to do something with the gadol habayis, with the oldest brother. So why don't we wait? Ella, what are you going to have to say? That kol shehu yeh mitzvah lo yimashina, that we don't want to delay a mitzvah. So no matter which way it is, whether it's the gadol that's the best, whether it's the katan that's doing yibum, it's the best. Whatever it is, we don't want to delay the mitzvah. That's the pshat of the Mishnah. That's why we don't listen to any of these claims, and rather we tell him whatever you did, that the mitzvah is upon you, either to do chalitza or to do yibam.